We are going to start our study on Galatians on Sunday night. I think I mistold everybody, but anyway, shame. Hey, be even more ready. Kicking it off Sunday night, amen. Brother Anthony said I should lie more often. Everybody shows up for church, praise the Lord. I'm kidding. Psalms 119 is where we're going to be at. I want to help you with some things this morning and share with you a little bit of a concern that we have in, of course, a Christian life. And many times the summers are filled with all the different activities, all the different events. We have church camp, we have youth conference, we have all these different meetings, we have vacation Bible school, all the different things that go on. Of course, family vacations, and many times everybody's running every other direction. And then, of course, school starts up and everybody kind of gets back together and things kind of slow back down. And I want to preach you a message tonight entitled, Measuring Your Commitment. Measuring Your Commitment. And again, there's a lot of times where we have events and we have meetings, we have different things, and we commit to different areas of our lives. Church camp, young people commit their lives to the Lord. We re-surrender in aspects of our lives to the Lord. We kind of reassess what we're doing for God. And we're going to look here at Psalms 119. I think there's some very pressing verses that we're going to look at and give you a good understanding of them. Look at verse number 9, Psalms 119, verse number 9. Psalms 119 is the longest book of the Bible, and it has 100, or Psalms 119 is one of the longest chapter of the Bible. It has 176 verses, and of those 176 verses, 174 of them mention the Word of God, and all but two of them do not. And here, nestled right at the very beginning, we see some truths laid out that are very instrumental in our lives. Look at verse number 9. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Then notice the last phrase. I will not forget thy word. Here he begins asking the question, how can a young person, how can a young man, and we can make application all across all ages of life, but how can we cleanse our ways? And at the end of verse 9 it says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then at the end of this section in verse 16 he says, I will not forget thy word. So dealing with the cleansing aspect and dealing with some commitments that are made here in this specific passage. So at this time, as we prepare, of course, we're starting the new year, new school year, and everyone's kind of settling down as far as activities are concerned. We're going to be getting geared up in a few weeks for our old-fashioned revival. I think it's time for us to reassess where we're at spiritually. Reassess some of the commitments that we've made this year. We're a little over halfway through the year. We're in month number 8 now. Of year 2026, right around the corner is the very next year. Already planning events for next year, already planning the theme for next year, all the different things that go into that. But here I think we need to reassess some things in our personal lives. So bear with me a little bit tonight as we break down this passage, and please take to heart some of the truths that I'm going to give to you as well. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, help us to be what we ought to be for you. It's easy to get into a rut during the summertime. We often call it a summer slump. And it's easy just to get so busy with all the different things that go on in life that we get too busy for you. And Lord, when we get too busy to walk with you and get too busy to come to church, we get too busy to read our Bible, the reality is then we're just too busy. Nothing should ever come between us and our relationship with you. But Lord, I pray that you help us as we try to reassess where we're at spiritually. I think we need to take inventory regularly, more than just every quarter when we do the Lord's Supper. I think we need to take inventory regularly and often. And Lord, help us to do that tonight. Please, we'll honor you and praise you for all you do. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to bring out some things to you before we get into the actual thick of the outline and the message here. I want you to notice in verse number 1, we see a cleansing take place. He says, where possibly can a young man cleanse his way? And it says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. The question often gets asked in our spiritual life, how do you handle temptation? What do you do when the devil comes to you? How can you stand against the things that the devil tries to tempt us with? Well, the Bible says that when temptation comes, temptation itself is not a sin. We know that. But we know that temptation comes, and that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. But how do we handle the temptation? How do we handle the mess of all the sin in our lives? Well, the Bible says we cleanse our way by taking heed to the Word of God. So here in verse number 9, we see a cleansing. How do we handle temptation? What do we do when the devil comes to us with different things that he tempts us with in our lives? We need to quote Scripture to him, just like Jesus Christ did there in Matthew chapter 4, when he was 40 days in the wilderness. Everybody okay tonight? Everybody following along? Okay. So here, there's a cleansing that we see in verse number 9. In verse number 10, it says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Here is a cherishing that we see. He says, God, I've sought after you with everything. I've tried to live my life in different ways. God, with everything inside me, he says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. He says, everything inside of me is drawing to you. There's a cherishing of the Word of God. There's a holding on to, a clinging to the vitality of life that the Word of God gives us. By the way, this is a living book. This is a living book. It can speak to me just like it can speak to you. And in different areas, I was talking to my son about this just the other day. When I was a teenager, and he's a teenager now, in certain areas of my life, God would speak to me in different passages for the things that I needed in that area or venue of my life. Well, today I'm no longer a teenager. I'm a grown man, and I've got children of my own, and I'm a husband. And so when I read certain things, there are certain passages that will deal with me in a different manner than they did before. And you know that in your life as well. As you're a student of the Word of God, and as we grow in the Lord, the Word of God is going to deal with us in the things that we need for that very moment. And so here there's a cherishing that we see. David's here saying, God, I don't want to wander away from the truths of the Word of God. Look at verse number 11. It says, thy word have I hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Here we see a commitment to the things of God. And a changing of direction in his life. He asked in verse 9 how to get clean. In verse number 10, he begins to cherish the things of God. And in verse number 11, now we have a commitment that's made. He says, now I'm going to hide your word in my heart. Now I'm going to hold on to the truths that you've given me. I'm going to commit them to my life. Why? He said that I might not sin against thee. I don't want to go that direction, so I'm going to take the truths of the Word of God. They're going to keep me fastened in the way of God. And then what does he say in verse 12? Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Here we have somebody who's humble and willing to learn. He says, God, I want to be blessed. And we talked about that on Sunday morning. But he said, the only way I know how to be blessed is I've got to learn the Word of God. And we're going to get into the aspects of it all here. But just some nuggets that we need to grab to. Listen, if you're going to clean some things up in your life, and if you're going to stick to some commitments that you've made in your life, it's going to be because you stuck to the Word of God. The Word of God is the thing that's going to keep us straight in this Christian life. It's not going to be how many preachers you know. It's not going to be how many different people in your life you've got praying for you, although prayers do help. But whether or not you're walking with God is going to determine how far with God you go. And we've got to make sure that we're walking with the Lord. So there's three aspects I want you to notice in these 8 verses. Number one, in our commitment level, first, we need to focus our hearts. We need to focus our hearts. If we're going to be committed to the things of God, we've got to make sure that we are focused on the right areas. Focus our hearts wholly on the things that God has for us. Look at verse 9. Notice we ought to be assured of the direction that we're headed. He says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word." When it mentions the phrase taking heed, that would be literally just like somebody when they're preparing for travel a certain distance or preparing to go to a certain place maybe that they've never been before. They're going to stop and they're going to check the directions. They're going to check. We may not have all the physical maps like we used to have before. It may just be plugging it into Google or GPS, right? But the reality is you're going to trust the directions that you've been given. Here, the Bible gives us directions for our lives. And we got to be assured of the direction that God has us headed. It says, taking heed thereto according to thy word. Again, down in verse number 105 of the same chapter, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Listen, you may not always understand the directions in life that God has you going. And you may just see a little bit of the picture time and again. The word of God is a lamp for your feet. And as you go along life's journey, you're following that lamp as it's going out. You don't see a whole lot that's out there, but you know that he's heading you in the right direction. And when you get to the end of that path, you can look back and say, God's been a light unto my path. He was a lamp to my feet. Every single step that I took, God was there. Every single step that I took, God made sure that I was walking the right direction. But then when I got to the end of the journey, I can look back and say, God lit up everything and God knew everything. We often use the phrase hindsight's 20/20, right? We can look back and see some of the pitfalls that we missed and we did not have to go through. Why? Because God's word was a lamp unto our feet. We didn't see all the struggle. We may not have seen all the dangers that were out there because we were focused on what God had for us. So we need to be assured of our direction. This is how we focus our hearts. Focusing on the word of God tonight. But verse 10, we also need to be aware of the dangers. As we focus our hearts on the things of God, we need to be aware of the dangers that the world presents. Notice what David said. With my whole heart have I sought thee. I would dare say, in a church like ours, a church our size, all the different events and things that we are a part of and that we do and we take our young people to and our adults to, I would dare say that there's probably been the vast majority in this room that have at one time or another told God, I'm seeking after you with everything I've got. Just like the psalmist is right here. With my whole heart have I sought thee. God, I just want your blessings in my life. God, I just want you to be very present in dealing with me. God, I need you now more than ever. Maybe you prayed some of those prayers. I know I have and I do often. But notice the concern that he has. He says right after that, he says, God, I've sought after you with everything I have. God, you can say it this way. I've exhausted myself pursuing after you. With my whole heart have I sought thee. The Bible says in Psalms 42, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. What is he saying? He said, I've gone after you with every single thing that I have, that I'm completely exhausted with anything else. Notice the caveat he says right after it. He says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. He understood the danger that was there. He took a full assessment that because I've been so committed to the things of God and because I put all my energy into following after you and into trusting you, that sometimes I've not paid attention to how weary I've gotten. We heard of Brother Thoreau and I, myself and Ethan, we went Monday night over to Oklahoma City. We heard a good message at a preacher meeting we had gone to about not fainting. And the word faint doesn't always necessarily mean that you just quit. Sometimes it means that you just let go of some things. That you just get weary. You just get tired in the ministry. And here the psalmist says that God, I've sought after you. But God, with everything inside of me, I don't want to wander away from you. Now listen, have you ever been in the presence of God to the point to where you said, God, I don't ever want to leave this. God, I don't ever want this to be gone. There's sweet fellowship. God, I can feel your presence. God, I know that you're ever near me right now. God, I don't ever want to lose this. I don't ever want that fire to die. Here, the psalmist, he says, God, I've sought after you with everything. He says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. There's a real concern with the danger of wandering away. There's a real concern with being aware of being distracted from the things of God. Now listen, if we're going to be committed to serving God with our lives, we've got to always make sure that we're refocusing our hearts to the things of God. I don't know if you've ever worked with cameras or telescopes or different things. Let's find a seat and be seated, okay? I don't know if you ever worked much with those, but sometimes when you begin to use them regularly, you got to readjust the focus. It's easy when you're using it and when you're just putting it back into place and you're disassembling things and putting it back in your bags. It's easy for something to get moved just a little bit. And so sometimes you've got to manually fix the focus. Why? Because some things are a little fuzzy. Some things don't always turn out right. So what are you doing? You're constantly adjusting the focus. You see, in your Christian life, you ought to constantly be adjusting your focus on God. The Bible says, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, to seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And so we've got to constantly be making sure that we're looking unto Jesus and not looking unto self. So here, if we're going to stay committed, we've got to refocus our hearts. You see, we have a missions conference back in February. But we try to have missionaries throughout the year. And why? Because we got to refocus the burden that we have. Because sometimes it's easy to forget what our business should be about. And that's the salvation of souls. Sometimes it's easy to forget what God has called us to do. Sometimes it's easy just to go through the routine of the Christian walk. And we forget what we're supposed to do for God. Parents, sometimes it's easy for you to be so focused on your children being where they're supposed to be for all the different events and activities and things going on that you neglect your personal walk with God. We've got to make sure that we're setting an example for our young ones. So we got to always refocus our hearts. Secondly, I want you to notice tonight, not only must we focus our hearts, but we must feed our hearts. We must feed our hearts. Notice from verses 11 to 14, it says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Here we must feed ourselves. And listen, we feed ourselves by getting into the word of God. And we feed ourselves by desiring the things of God and meditating on the Word of God. And we're going to see those words as we go throughout all of this here. But notice in verse number 11, there's a few things that we notice about feeding ourselves on the Word of God and feeding our hearts. Verse 11, we see that we can feed our hearts by hoarding or by hiding the Word of God in it. It says, thy Word have I hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. You can take and make some different applications in your own life. But here, typically, things that we hide, we put them away because they're special. Or we hide them and put them out of sight for a rainy day. Sometimes it may be a savings account. Sometimes it may be money that you have in your safe. Sometimes it may be your retirement plan, your 401k, the different things that go on. It's simply out of sight. Why? So it doesn't get messed with. It's there just in case for the future. But notice here, the Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart. Notice, this does not mean that we're hiding from people the fact that we are a child of God. That's not what this means. The word hid here gives the connotation and the aspect that there's memorization of the word of God. There's a constant putting in of the Bible. There's a constant soaking up of the Word of God. Here he says, thy word have I hidden in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. So here we must feed our hearts by hiding the word of God in our hearts. Because the more word of God that we know, the more Bible that we know, then the less sin we're going to be actively involved in. You say, why do you say that? I believe it was Billy Sunday said, or him or D.L. Moody, one of the two, either this book will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from this book. D.L. Moody, I get them backwards every time. He said, the Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart. Let me ask you, I understand we live in America and we have religious freedoms. But if the word of God was taken out of your home today, and you don't have all 75 copies that you have in your own house, right? Because we all have a lot. If you don't have access to the phone app for the Bible app that you have, if you don't have access to a physical Bible, I wonder, how much of the Bible do you have memorized? How much of the Word of God can you live off of? Can you sustain yourself spiritually? I fear most Christians today are very weak and anemic spiritually because they don't know the Bible. And if somebody were to come in and take away our Bibles, we'd be even more weak. We'd be even more anemic. And we wouldn't be able to last. There's been an all-out assault on the Word of God since the creation of man, and we know that. It's the very first words that the devil said to Eve in the garden. Yea, hath God said. An all-out attack on the very Word of God. Here, we know that that attack has not lightened up any. Today, we ought to strive to know more of the Bible than ever before. We memorize Scripture in our Christian school. We have a monthly passage that we memorize. Every pace that the students do, they memorize a verse that deals with a character trait or character quality of Christ. But the reality is, we invest in our young people memorizing Scripture. As a matter of fact, Vacation Bible School, we had a memory verse contest. During our Fall Harvest campaign, we have memory verse contests for the little ones. At church camp, they have a whole list or a whole page of memory verses to memorize. Why? Because we put a high price tag on the memorization of Scripture when we're young. Let me ask you, adult, when's the last time you memorized a Bible verse? So my memory's not what it used to be. No, but you know what time you're supposed to be at work. You memorized your schedule. We memorize what we want to memorize. You memorize your favorite TV channel. I know mine. It's ESPN, all right? Channel 206. I know where it's at. But the reality is, we memorize things we want to memorize. You drive a route a few times and you memorize a certain path to get to a certain place. Most of you, if you got your orders memorized at your local restaurants that you like to frequent. We got to memorize it and we got pictures to prove it. Amen. Just in case the waiter's messing up. It's supposed to look like this. But let me ask, when's the last time you memorized Scripture? How many verses have you memorized this year? Listen, we say we want to commit ourselves to the Lord. We say we want to live more godly in our Christian life. We say that we want to be the father that God has for us to be. We want to be the parent that God has for us to be. We want to be the Christian that God meant for us to be. But how much Bible are we putting in our hearts? How much of the Word of God are we holding on to? How much of the Bible are we reading? I was striving to read through the Bible, and I challenge everybody to read through the Bible every year. And we ought to do that. I got a good preacher friend of mine that he challenges himself to read through the Bible the first 90 days of every year. I praise the Lord for that. I'm glad he's spiritual enough. I got a friend of mine that I grew up in church I grew up in Jacksonville. He's not a pastor. He's not a preacher. He's made it a purpose of his for the last 25 years to read through the Bible twice every year, every 6 months. Listen, this is not just for preachers or men of God. This is for every one of us. How much of the Bible are we putting in our hearts? How much of the Bible can we go back to? You see, the devil's going to be tempting us on all sides. You see, the world's going to show its ugly head in our lives. But there ought to be things in our lives that remind us of Scripture regularly. And if we're constantly putting in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God is going to bring that back to memory. Here, we must feed the heart by hoarding the Word of God, holding on to the Word of God. But also, look at verse 12. We've got to feed the heart by hearing the Word of God. By hearing. It says, blessed art thou, O Lord. Then notice the statement he makes. It's very plain, very simple. Teach me thy statutes. God, just teach me your word. Teach me the Bible. Give me what I need. Over in Psalms 27, verse 11, it says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Amen. Teach me some things. Now, it may just be the innate teacher inside of me. But I'll tell you, the students that are the most excited to learn are usually the students that do the most learning. Let's make some application in our lives. The Christians that are the most excited to learn the Word of God are usually the Christians that do the most learning. Are usually the Christians that do the most growing. Are usually the Christians that are the most excited, not just about their growth, but about everybody else's growth. Why? Because we're always striving to learn something. It doesn't matter what point you get to in your Christian life, and it doesn't matter how much you learn, you ought to always constantly be striving to learn more. Brother Jack Hiles used to always say, every man is my teacher. Now, I assume it's a quote that he got from someone else as well. You always, 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 always ought to be learning from somebody. I've got this statement written in my Bible right outside of this verse here. It says, life isn't just existing. It's the quality of how you exist. And the quality of something is always shown by its consistency, by its character, but also by its longevity. The Bible said the words of the Lord are pure words. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. There's nothing that's got greater longevity than the Word of God. As a matter of fact, last time I checked, the Word of God, the Bible, the King James Bible, is still the Guinness World Record holder of the most popular book that's ever sold in the history of the world. Sold more copies than any other book in the world. We must feed our heart by hearing the Word of God. Think of it this way. You're not going to learn if you're not willing to listen. Did you catch that? You're not going to learn if you're not willing to listen. There are times in our Christian lives where when we come to church or even we go to different meetings and different people that are preaching, they may not be as seasoned as we may be, or they may be a little more seasoned or whatever, but it may be a simpler message that's given and we automatically just turn it off. I've heard that before. I don't need that. If we're not willing to listen, then we're not going to be able to learn. We've got a sign. I don't think it's on the wall. We got a sign next door, though. I think it's in the downstairs hallway. And we didn't put it up this year, but it says this. Silent and listen are spelled with the same letters. Silent and listen are spelled with the same letters. But let me add a thought to that. You can't do the second one without doing the first one. We can't listen without being silent. The Bible says in Psalms to be still and know that I am God. When God spoke to Elijah there when he had fled Ahab and Jezebel after Mount Carmel, it was not the great earthquake that God was in. It was not the great fire that God was in. It was not the great whirlwind that God was in. It was after all those things when things got quiet that God spoke in a still, small voice. Sometimes we've got to be willing to be silent. Now listen, we live in a world where we are bombarded by everything all the time. When was the last time we just shut stuff off and sat in silence? Most people today would lose their mind if they sat in silence for 30 seconds. I'm kind of waiting for the day for the power grid to go down just so people can lose their minds when it comes to their cell phones. But that's a reality. People just don't know how to operate without all the noise. Look at your life. We're all the same way. Just for fun, let me ask this question. How many of you fall asleep with a television on? I was not allowed. Most of us do. Put your hands down. Most of us do. Why? Because of the noise. Even when we don't fall asleep with the television on, my wife and I, we can't sleep without the noise of a fan. Yeah, some of you are that way as well. To the point to where we've gone on vacation and we have downloaded a fan app because we forgot to pack the fan. You've done that? Yes. It's a commitment. It's a problem, right? You hear it. Why? It's the noise. Brother Thoreau and I, we spent many a nights in the deer woods. You hear some wild, you guys have been hunting, you hear some wild noises at certain hours of the nights. And whether you're in a tree or you're in a plastic blind or you're in a wooden built blind, that can only protect you from so much. But it's in the silence. Listen, it's in the silence where you really listen. It's when things get shut off when we really start paying attention. In our Christian life, I fear that we get so caught up in the noise of the world and the noise of all the things that are going on that we miss out on that still small voice that God has for us. We miss out on walking with God the way we should. Here he says, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." We've got to be willing. If we're going to feed our heart in verse 11, we've got to hoard or hold on to the Word of God. But in verse number 12, we've got to be willing to hear the Word of God. And you're not going to be able to hear anything if you're filling your mind with all the noise of the world. There are young people who made decisions this summer. There are older folks here who've made decisions at men's conference and ladies' conference. All of us, the good Lord willing, made decisions during our missions conference. But have you kept your commitments? Have we kept them? We're slightly behind in our missions goal. How have we kept the commitments that we've made? The reality is this. Many times we make the commitments, but we fail in fulfilling them because we miss out on our walk with God. We miss out on our quiet time. Our quiet time. Our time where we spend alone with God. Jesus Christ said it this way in Matthew chapter number 6. He said, "When thou enterest into thy closet..." He says, "Close the door behind you." He also says this, "What God sees in secret, He'll reward you in open." In the open, or openly. The reality is this, we've got to have some time alone with God and away from everything else. We've got to be willing to hear the Word of God. But also, if we're going to feed our heart in verse number 13 and 14, we've got to be able to herald the Word of God. Or we've got to talk about the Bible. We've got to talk about the things that God has done for us and God has done in us. It says, "With my lips," verse 13, "have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." Here he's saying he's heralding the Word of God, or he's proclaiming the Word of God in two different ways in verse 13 by reciting in it, or by reciting it in verse 14 by rejoicing in it. He said, "I'm telling everybody I come in contact with, I'm declaring the judgments of thy mouth. I'm telling people what you've given me in your word." He says, notice in verse 14, catch this, "I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." You know, we're quick to tell folks when God blesses us with unexpected things. But are we just as quick to tell folks when God blesses us with a blessing from His Word? With a truth, a nugget from His Word? Something that spoke to our hearts? Listen, I was always telling everybody about the blessings that God gives you in your life, but you know what? It's time that we just start sharing what God has given us in His Word with one another. Encouraging each other. He said, I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Just as much as I've rejoiced with others openly about the blessings that God you've given me, I'm rejoicing openly about how you've spoken to my heart and how you've given me your word and things that you've done in my life, sharing blessings with one another. I'm sure we all have people in our lives that as soon as a blessing happens that you've just got to tell somebody and there's that person that automatically pops in your head for you to call or text. I just got to share this with you. This is what God did. But I wonder, is there anybody that ever pops up in your head that you want to call and share it with, but then you hesitate because you know how they'll react? You hesitate because you know that they're not going to be excited for you. Or you know they're going to be negative, and they may be a fellow believer. But you can't rejoice. Here, we got to focus our hearts on the things of God, but we got to feed our heart regularly the Word of God. Then lastly, I want you to notice verse 15 and 16. We'll hasten. We must fix our heart upon God. Focus our heart, feed our heart, and now fix our heart. Now, when you fix something, you're attaching it. You're putting it together. You're making things right. Notice what he says in verse 15. He says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Here, this is what we ought to do when we fix our heart. We ought to study the Word of God contemplating. He says, I will meditate. Meaning, God, I'm going to contemplate. I'm going to think about. I'm going to dwell on the Word of God. I'm going to chew on the truths that you've given me. Then notice what he says, and have respect unto thy ways. Here, not only is he going to chew on the Word of God, but he's not going to take it lightly. When you have respect for something, listen, when you go to someone's house and you have respect for their things, you treat them better than you treat your things. Right? When we have respect unto the Word of God, we're going to treat the truths that God gives us with some value. We're going to treat it with some honoring. We're going to treat it with some delicacy. Understanding the great truth that God has given us. Understanding the great responsibility that we have before God. Not taking it lightly. This is why I often say, don't miss your Bible when you read your Bible. Don't just blow through the Word of God, but focus on the truth that He has for you. Study the Word of God contemplating. Notice verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. Here we ought to study the Word of God cheerfully. He says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. There are times where we read the Word of God and we are cut to the heart. But when's the last time we actually rejoice that God still cut us to the heart? Rejoicing over the conviction that God gave us. Rejoicing, listen, because God's still speaking to us. Now please catch this truth. He says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. Meaning that I'm excited about the rules, the laws, the truths, the things that you're giving me. Even when they may be difficult. You can rejoice in the Word of God even when it's convicting. Why? Because that's a sign that God trusts you with it. It's a sign that the Holy Spirit of God is still working in you and on you. That's a sign that God's still interested in my life and your life. He's still working. I love the old song. It's a patch song. He's still working on me. To make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How patient and loving he must be. Because he's still working on me. Don't ever get over the fact that God hasn't gotten over you. Write that down. Don't ever get over the fact God hasn't gotten over you. He still loves you. He still cares for you. He's not gotten used to you. We get used to things after a while, don't we? But God still loves you like an only child. Study the word contemplating. Study the word cheerfully. And lastly here, study the word continually. I think it's fitting that he wraps it up in verse 16 with the phrase, Brother Nick, I will not forget thy word. This kind of attitude comes from a private study with God. This kind of attitude comes from a private walk with God, of getting alone with God and getting in the Bible and seeing what God has for you. And when God shows you a truth, you say, God, this is exactly what I'm going to do. This is exactly what I've been looking for. This is exactly what I've been praying that you would show me in my life. And then you have the resolve, I'm not going to forget this. I'm not going to forget what God did for me. I'm not going to forget what God showed me. See, there are special days that we remember. I've got different days written down in different locations. In my Bible, I got the day that I got saved. June 22nd, 2003. I'm never going to get over the fact of what God did for me. I don't ever forget that. I wrote down the day that I surrendered my life to preach. July 17th, 2007. I've got that date written down. I remember that date. I also have different dates in my life. The day that I got married. I'm just kidding. It's May 21st, 2010. My wife and I have several dates in our relationship that are special to us. We have October 13th. It's called our I Love You Day. It's the day we both first said that we loved each other. On June 23rd, it's the first day that we went out on a date. Double date, of course. There's special dates that we have. April 3rd, 2007 was the day she realized she loved me. I already knew, just had to convince her. But listen. Listen, what I'm saying is this. When God does something in your heart, and you spend some time with God, and there's a commitment that's made between you and God, we ought to have the same resolve that the psalmist says here, I will not forget thy word. God, I'm not going to forget what you did for me here. On this date, I'm not going to forget what you did in my life. You see, there's different church services that I remember like it was yesterday because of what God did when God showed up. There's a day when I was a teenager. Brother Anthony, you'll remember a youth conference when Brother Dignan was preaching. Our whole youth group got together in the front. It would have been our right side. It would have been that end of the auditorium. We got over there and we recommitted our whole youth group to the Lord. And we were going to stand up and do the things that God had called us to do. There's quite a few of the young men and women that were in that specific group that recommitted their lives to the Lord. Quite a few of us that are in the ministry today. Why? Because there's some people that were interested in the things of God. I've never forgotten that service. Why? Because of what God did. I mentioned it several times about what God did this past summer at our church camp with our young people. I don't want to forget how God spoke to our hearts. There's different times where I can go back to different services and specific messages where God did this and God did this and I recommitted this. Why? Because I don't want to forget what He did in my life. We often talk about it around Memorial Day, but these are the memorials that we ought to set up in our Christian lives. Where the psalmist is able to say, I will not forget thy word. God, when you've shown me something, God, when you've given me something, God, when you've met with me in a special way and I've been able to reassess where I am spiritually, God, I'm not going to forget how you did something for me that day. Listen, if you don't have one of those days in your life, other than, of course, the day of salvation, want to encourage you, make today that day where you say, God, I'm going to give myself to you now. Here, now, and forever. God, I don't want to forget your word. I want to stay faithful to the precepts you've given. I want you to teach me your statutes. I want to stay faithful to the word of God. I want to cleanse my way. I want to hide the word of God in my heart. God, I want to make sure that I'm fully committed to you. Where are we at spiritually? Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Where are you at spiritually right now? Take an assessment of your life. Listen, I can want and I can desire things for you till I'm blue in the face. But the reality is you've got to desire some things for yourself. You've got to desire a walk with God. You've got to desire the right kind of marriage, the right kind of relationship. You've got to desire to be the right kind of man and husband and leader of your family. You've got to desire to be the right kind of mother. Young people, you've got to desire to be the right kind of child, the right kind of young person. It's realizing, hey, in the next few years, I'm about to be an adult. I got to step up. There's things to be done. I got to start maturing. I got to grow up. We got to make sure that we reassess our commitment level tonight. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Lord, help us to measure ourselves, not amongst ourselves, not to compare ourselves by ourselves, but Lord, help us to measure ourselves according to the Word of God. See where we're at. Your word says, let a man examine himself. Your word says to work out or to exercise your own salvation. Your word tells us time and time and time again that we ought to question where we're at spiritually. Lord, help us to do that. And may we finish the year strong doing the things you've called us to do and continue our lives for you being what we ought to be for you. We'll praise you. We'll thank you for it. We love you. We ask you, Saints, your name, we pray, amen. As the pianist plays, you come as God's led things to your heart. But where are you spiritually?